Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Disruptive CEO Nation, where company founders, entrepreneurs, and cutting-edge thinkers drop in from around the globe to share startup stories, insider insights, and hard-earned success lessons. Now, here's your host, a woman who mastered business by placing heels on the ground all over the world, having worked with and coached CEOs and senior leaders from over 90 countries, and who wants you to build your best business future. Allison K. Summers.
Hey, it's an absolutely gorgeous day where I am sitting, and my guest is in California, so I'm assuming it's a gorgeous day where he is sitting. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to give you a little bit of insider information and wisdom that you can apply to your business. Our guest today is Steve Gallion, who's the co-founder and CEO of MedTrainer, and I got to tell you, I just love the concept of helping healthcare providers make sure that they're getting all their training, all their compliance, and doing it in a way that isn't burdening the cost of the healthcare system. So, Steve, introduce yourself and tell everybody exactly what MedTrainer does for the world.
Yeah, thank you, Allison. Thank you for having me on. Excited to be here. Once again, my name is Steve Gallion, co-founder, CEO of MedTrainer. And, our mission's pretty simple. We look to leverage technology to bring together kind of the fragmented pieces of healthcare compliance, creating a more efficient healthcare ecosystem when you think about start to finish compliance of running a practice. And before we started, it was a very disjointed process, and we look to bring clarity to kind of an unclear world from the lens of healthcare administration.
Well, and Steve, I want to share with our listeners a little bit about that founder's journey. And I want to just tease that you need to listen to this story. Steve and his team have achieved some remarkable growth and benchmarks, including a recent Series B that was, I think, if I have it right, Steve, over $40 million. So let's dig into it on how this became a problem that you decided you needed to get involved with and solve.
Great. Yeah. So going back to 2013, I was introduced to the concept of healthcare education and thinking about problems that existed in the current learning environment in the healthcare world, kind of across all the segments of healthcare. And what really bubbled up to myself, as well as my co-founders, that there was what we had thought was a problem and how learning was being delivered. This is kind of when Blockbuster is closing down and people are starting to subscribe to Netflix and instant demand to content is becoming more of a thing. And it wouldn't be before long where that goes from the B2C market to the B2B world as well. And so we kind of saw the writing on the wall for content demand and education, whether it's being delivered to a clinical provider or to frontline healthcare staff. There's so many mission critical aspects to regulatory compliance that fall within that educational world. And so we got off on the first footing with a learning management system that had baked in content, meaning the content was part of the system itself instead of purchasing from two different vendors. And we solved maybe 30% of the problem. The customer voice really came out through that journey into where we are today, which is really solving more of a holistic problem for healthcare regulatory compliance. It wasn't just learning. There's other elements of compliance and credentialing that create a more 360 view within each healthcare organization. And further review of kind of how things were being done previously, a lot of different systems being ran in parallel. Most people don't know this, but the average hospital runs over 200 software platforms. And if you can think about how much work that is to maintain, especially when More legacy systems are on premise, right? Installed on a computer somewhere. The amount of resources those types of systems draw, the amount of human capital it takes to maintain them. We just saw so many opportunities to repair and correct that. And that's kind of where MedTrainer was born. And fast forward through our journey up to today. So we're Series B backed private equity backed company. We just finished that round of funding in February of this year, which was led by Vista Equity Partners. Our Series A was done by Telescope Partners back in 2019. And the company has been not only growing, but year over year, our percentage of growth is actually accelerating. So we're starting to kind of hockey stick and curve up. We have about 320 employees within the organization today and are hitting some really great metrics internally as well as externally, not just growth, but things that align with our cultural vision, things that align with who we are and kind of our thought leadership vision and who we want the market to perceive us as well.
Well, Steve, I want to talk about your internal teams, because we all know you can't scale and achieve that kind of growth without the right, you know, expertise and committed team players. So give us a little bit about how you went about and what the current dynamics are of the team, where they're located, what their backgrounds are.
Sure. So, if you would have asked me this 5 years ago, I would have argued with you if you thought that I would open up the company to be decentralized and have as much of a robust footprint, right? I wanted more of a centralized office location, folks in office. Mm-hmm. And obviously, COVID changed that for many companies. And for us, I think it actually changed the angle of perspective. And with that change of perspective, it gave us a lot larger of a talent pool to pull from. You hear a lot about right now, currently, the war on talent. I think talent wins 99 times out of 100 when you think about what is really driving the business and kind of the backbone of the business. And if we take it down to its core, and I will answer your question about where this decentralization mm-hmm. where people are at, because they're all over the country and out of the country as well. But when I take it down to its core, when we think about our strategy for culture and talent and people, it's really employees first, customers second, shareholders third. And I've spoke about this before. I have a pretty big opinion on it. Shareholders are looking for derivative value on their investment, which cannot happen without happy customers. Happy customers cannot happen without having employees either build good product, provide good support, provide good operations. And that just doesn't happen without building really strong, talented teams. And so when you really tear the business down to the core or the root, what is driving it? It's going to be those teams. Great businesses are built on the backs of good people and strong talent. And so, and I think one of the hardest jobs that I have as a CEO is finding the right talent for the executive leadership team, which is we have people in Texas, we have people in Salt Lake City, we have people in California, people in Las Vegas, and some we've actually had members of the ELT relocate to our Mexico office in Querétaro, Mexico. It's really been an amazing journey with decentralization and kind of the work from anywhere type approach. But we I wish I could say we had a critical mass of folks in one particular place, but as COVID changed that landscape of business as in general, that stands true with us as well. So completely decentralized today, no office except for our customer success office, and which is more critical to have the connective tissue in office to solve challenges for our customers to make sure they're getting the right layers of support.
And my impression, Steve, as part of that leadership equation is you value DEI and multicultural collaborations and team members. Tell us a little bit about your growth in that area.
Yeah, so when we think about, like, it's real buzzword right now, you know, the DEI profile. And I think it needs to be more than that. It needs to actually have impact, and that impact needs to drive impact in the business. And The way I look at it is by enhancing our DE&I profile, we are able to enhance our perspectives, people coming from different walks of life, different journeys, and solving problems in different ways. So where does that lead us today? About half of our company is actually operating out of our office in Mexico, which is amazing. So which represents a really unique footprint of folks. About 30% of those people are not Mexican citizens or from all over the world. The company as a whole, we're very close to 50-50 gender parity. Our executive leadership team, I'm excited. We haven't even announced this yet, but we've just added a new CMO, which adds another woman in leadership, which is awesome. And, you know, I think our eye is once again just drawn back to the DE&I checkbox sounds good, but you actually have to live it. And what does it mean? It means for us that we're getting a lot of people looking at things through different lenses. And the best way to solve a tough problem is having a lot of smart eyeballs on that problem and looking for the right solution, not for the right person.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. Well, let's talk again about, let's flip back and talk about the mission of MedTrainer and your growth and where you had your customer acquisition. You've talked about how customers are just so important to you and customer care in listening to customers. So let's talk about when you in the growth were like, oh, we've made it. We've got our first like truly major customer and what led to that?
I think that you continuously have these pinnacle moments of appreciation where making it back in 2014, 15, those moments were big, big celebratory moments, but they were different. So maybe a core customer then meant a revenue number, where a core customer today may be meeting a different type of demographic. And we can be a little smarter today. So like big wins for us that are celebratory today will be things like, hey, we are have noticed that our customer base is, we don't have as much representation in, let's say, critical access hospitals, mm-hmm. which historically are tough for patients to get to in tough care environments, have to provide emergency support. And these are places where patients are already struggling to get care and these operations are struggling to provide it. Like, how can we increase our profile there to provide greater impact to the overall healthcare system itself? And the way we can drive efficiencies, effectiveness, cost reduction amongst these tough challenges, they have direct impact into lower cost of patient care, lower insurance premiums. You know, you hear in the news about insurance premiums going up every year, and a lot of us feel it too when they, you know, when we get our new renewal for our healthcare insurance. And things that drive that up are healthcare operational costs. So like we're not directly the reason why an insurance premium is going to be low, but we're an added component of that pool. And if we can lower the cost of care, then hopefully we can do good for, you know, maybe unsupported populations that wouldn't have access to care otherwise. And being part of that representation as a whole really is a part of the mission as well.
So you talk about, you know, pinnacle moments of celebration. And, but what were some that were really super sweet in a plain English way, Steve, not a CEO business talk, but truly that brought joy in your heart when you achieved them and in this founder's journey?
Sure. So I think, big moments of success, like this wasn't only something that we thought was going to be great, but others are validating our thought process. We took on an exclusive partnership with McKesson. McKesson's the, you know, top 10 Fortune 10 company, the largest healthcare distributor in the world. Mm-hmm. And for a company like that to work with a startup in its early phases and somebody see the vision that early on really brought validating factor. This is early on in 2015. And then partnerships, corporate partnerships evolved, companies like ADP, companies like Athena Health that have been in the healthcare arena and providing healthcare organization software support for a long time. You start bringing on those partnerships and it drives not only validation internally, but can also stimulate your rapport in the marketplace with your customers. And our this will probably help a little why I'm talking about partner instead of customer. So we've always had a focus on the SMB and mid-market side of healthcare. So as proud of as I am of the logos that we have today with almost 3,000 customers and over 300,000 healthcare professionals within our user base, mm-hmm. Mostly going to be composed of smaller healthcare organizations, which were heavily underrepresented by any software companies before us. Most people are going after the big whale hunting, right? And wanting to get the big health systems and hospitals as clients. And our goal was to really get the volume and build a product that was able to suit the masses.
Well, and sometimes those of us know the big whale, they don't make the best customers or the best fit for your organization. They can get very demanding. True. Hey, you all are in the business of helping educate and grow professional knowledge for others. What do you personally do to grow your own knowledge or encourage your team members, your internal leadership team to stay sharp and grow their knowledge?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think that the most powerful tool for myself, and I encourage members of our executive leadership team and anybody all the way down to individual contributors within the business to really look for a supportive base of mentorship. It's funny when you're on the executive layer, you do that by asking people to donate time, right? Other people who have walked in your shoes, been on that journey before, built the business within the stage of the business that you're in today. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough thing to do. We can look at kind of, mentors that we would consider coming from afar, people we might read books about or things that help us learn about a certain person or a certain business type, but really getting into the weeds with somebody who can mentor you through your exact role, your exact process. You know, if I'm talking to my mentors, they're people who have done B2B enterprise software, specifically healthcare, and have seen that, have seen either one or multiple businesses at scale. So they've taken businesses from zero to, $100 million in annual recurring revenue or even beyond that. I think that's where you probably get the most practical value. Books and self-help are a lot of philosophical, but with practical knowledge and practical application, I think people who you can have or work with to donate that knowledge is where you learn the most effectively.
Let's talk about a hard lesson that maybe you had along the way or something. I mean, all the hard lessons are worth it because you either learn not to make that mistake again or grow from it. But was there something along the way that when you look back and you're like, huh, that was a little bump. That was something that didn't quite go the way we thought as you grew and scaled?
Yeah, I think that the way that we approach like customer partner triangulation. So where we have partners that we're working with the same type of customers. If I could give advice to people who are going to work within a partner ecosystem as well, I would say to really make sure that you're on the right page with your partners and that you've set the standards and rules of engagement and how do we work with joint customers together and how does cross-pollination work with our customer base and your customer base. Without having the conversations about what tough looks like early on, mm-hmm. You're going to be playing life on hard mode, right? With your partners who should be running alongside of you, making things easier, not tougher. And so I think, through scale, we've become a better version of ourselves and smarter. And, our team has led that initiative, more than myself, but getting the right folks on the team to make the right decisions about how we work within that triangulation of partner customer.
What's next for MedTrainer? What's the next either phase of growth or new product lines or that you're at liberty to share?
Yeah. I think we're at a point where we're not adding new and shiny. We have a very intentional prescriptive roadmap of who we are today, what our products are, and what we want to offer. And it's about how do we iterate on those continuously to provide better value ease of use, reach, let's say, less sophisticated user bases. And what I mean by that is with human capital demand, let's say nursing, in such high demand, and you have people going into nursing programs at all different levels, they may or may not have the same exposure to technology as somebody at one level versus the other. And so making the product usable at all layers is important, making sure that people have equal access to level up, whether it's through our system or somebody else's. I think our competitors look at a lot of this the same way. But what's next for us is continuing to iterate and expand kind of horizontally against other healthcare adjacent markets. So right now we're very, very focused in primary care, acute care, and post-acute care is something that has been new for us. So rolling out our products that to make them fit the mold within post-acute care, things like skilled nursing, home health, hospice, those types of care settings. And we will continue to add tense general markets, you know, whether it's dental or chiro or veterinary. We do have some very specific road mapping there on what those markets will be, but we're going to stay in healthcare, and we're going to continue to iterate on our core products to make them more valuable to our customers.
Okay, Steve, I'm going to flip and go a little personal here. I happen
Perfect.
to know you're a father. So as you've been growing your business, you've been growing a family. And a lot of entrepreneurs and company founders and just any CEO in general, you know, we all struggle with that. I always just say, you know, the way I'm a parent does not look at all like the way my parents parented. But tell us a little bit about your family and just how you make sure that you keep those two things, all getting the best of you.
Yeah, I think that, you know, work-life balance in general is important for sanity purposes. But when you're trying to balance out family elements, if I take my 14-year-old who's freshman in high school versus my 8-year-old son who is in second grade, they're very different stages, just similar to growing the business, right? I can relate to my son through sitting down and playing video games with him or something like that that he's interested in, where with my daughter, maybe it's she has a passion for cooking. I also have a passion for cooking. We cook together. We do a lot of meals at home. But I think it boils down to quality time over quantity. You know, if you think back to your statement of like parenting today is a lot different than parenting was maybe when we were growing up. There's plenty of people that spend a ton of time with their kids. Ton of time doing nothing, right? And those are not the memorable moments that I want my kids to remember. I want them to remember, and not to say you have to be Disneyland dad, but it could have been cooking that dish or winning that video game competition together, or these types of things that are memorable moments that will stick with them. And I think that quality imprint has a much bigger impact with my relationship with my kids than just a quantity of time. So that's how I balance it. I look for very strong quality wins over quantity.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for sharing some of your insight with us and talking about MedTrainer, but also talking about some of the way that you lead and you've built your team. I really appreciated, you know, the recommendations about mentorship, looking for people who've been there, done that. That is always just so key for anybody who wants to build their business or whatever type of career they have. If people want to find out more about MedTrainer, connect with you, where should they go and what should they do?
In terms of MedTrainer, visit us online at medtrainer.com. If you want to connect with me, feel free to on LinkedIn and just look for Steve Gallion. If I'm you, I'm searching Steve Gallion and MedTrainer all in the same search bar. And, you know, I'll probably be the first one to pop up. Would love to hear from anyone who listens to the podcast and talk to anyone about their thoughts.
Well, thank you. And for our listeners, if Steve has said something that you think somebody else can benefit from or needs to hear or wants to learn more about the services of MedTrainer, yeah, reach out, ping them and see if you can make some magic happen in collaboration. To our listeners, always keep your eye on the future and always be disruptive. Steve, thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.